in the morning. I give myself to you. So I praise you through until I get to. And then when I get to, I'll praise you because you brought me through. So that I can get to.
The backlight. Blackout.
So we ought to always have a praise. We should always have a worship. We should always recognize and acknowledge our Lord and our Savior into every.
Via text, went to the hospital and saw a little Ellie. She's in the ICU and we prayed with her and had this conversation with Mary and Sharon via text. And they called me up and said the doctor said that things are looking bad. You know, she was born in 6 months. And they called him up into the hospital because they were saying that, of course, her lungs weren't fully developed and the blood flow, instead of flowing from left to right, was going from right to left. And they need a switch to happen, turn to happen. The blood pressure was regulated. And I met him up at the hospital. We prayed over the baby. The Lord told me to put scriptures on our incubator. So I put scriptures and pasted it to the bottom of the incubator. I feel the faith of people who put hands on it. And so, you know, I didn't know if they would take it, put it in the trash. And they would help text me a picture. The nurses took the scriptures that was hidden at the bottom and put them at the top. He texts me and he says, man, it's looking better now. She's breathing on her own. It's looking better now. Things are improving. The doctor called and said, I don't know. Things are better. And, you know, that's God. Sometimes things will seem worse, but then God steps in and make things better.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And we believe in God that one day she will come out of that and get better. I'm talking about a day soon. They'll be able to hold her in their arms, be able to kiss her, love her. Somebody shout, it's going to happen. Somebody shout, it's already happening. It's already done. People who have my faith is already done. That's why when you see, he makes a way. He makes a way. He'll make rivers and deserts. He'll cause the storms and the seas to behave. He'll make a way. That's the God we serve. He's making a way. He's made a way. He's doing it. He's turning deserts into oases. He's making a way. Now, that which was barren should be fruitful. That which is barren shall be fruitful. I don't know who believed that this morning, but you've been looking and things have been down in your life, not producing. I hear your Holy Ghost. That was this mad name of Mephibosheth. Can I flow for a second? Mephibosheth was, he was the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. And the way customs would have it, whenever there's a kid, the next in line, when the kid dies, the oldest male child will take the throne. Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead. And the only one left to take the throne is Mephibosheth. Well, watch what happens to Mephibosheth. In the haste of him fleeing from an attack, a nurse at a young age picks him up and tries to run off, to cart him off to safety. And she drops him. He becomes lame, not in one leg, but in both legs. Can't walk. Now here it is. He is rightfully the king. He is in the lineage, the line for the next to be on the throne. As he takes him to this place, here, I said, called Lodabar.
Not Lodabar, though.
He's in the Lodabar.
Yeah.
He's living below the bar. Living below the standards. A king living in poverty. Now this term Lodabar is a Hebrew word.
Yeah.
And it means no pastures. It means a barren land. It means no growth. No prosperity. So here it is, a king living in the projects. I was at that time to preach. I keep living in the projects. And there he is, man. Look at his name and say, Lodabar. He's living below his man. Below who he is. Below God created him. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but maybe that's you this morning. You're in a low place. Living below your means. Living below who God has created you to be. You in. Lodabar. And watch what happens. It's not my message, but I'm going to get there. The king remembers a covenant and a promise that he made with Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. He remembers this covenant that he has with Jonathan. And he asks this question to his servants. He says, is there another of the house of Saul that I may show my kindness to him? Because he remembered the promise and the covenant. Is there another one yet alive that I may show my goodness to him? The servant says, yeah, that's one. His name is Mephibosheth, but he is in a low place in the projects. He is Scholar Square. He hanging out at Bird Station. He outside. He in the avenues. Just tell him to come. He may have a seat at my table. Watch what happens. He sends his servant to go get Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is afraid. Why is he afraid? He's going to have a seat at the king's table. Now, let me give you custom right fast before I get to it. So whenever a king takes over a kingdom, he has to annihilate everyone in the lineage of the kingdom that he is conquering. For the sake of revenge, he would not want not one male child, regardless of the age, to rise up to an age that would challenge his power. So he would go and kill everybody that's attached to the king that's in conquering. So Mephibosheth is afraid because he knows this cousin. He's thinking, man, if I go to the king don't kill me because I'm the rightful heir of the throne. If I don't, he don't like me out. But what he didn't know was there's a promise.
Yeah.
And some of you today are afraid to come to God because you don't know a promise has been made to you. God promises if you would come to me, I give you life and life more abundantly. You think what I'll have to give up, what I'll have to lose. God says, no, baby, if you come to me, if you give my life to me, the one who gives his life will gain his life. So Mephibosheth, crippled in both legs, has to be assisted to the palace. And while the king is preparing this great feast for a king, they have to wait. Watch, here's more custom. That when a king is coming, no one sits nor partakes of the meal until the king arrives. So watch. All the servants in the dining hall, in the mess hall, are standing and waiting. Waiting for God, yes. Wait. When will he arrive? Wait. And all of a sudden,
They hear click clack. Click clack. Click clack. Click clack. Click clack. Click clack. The doors of the dining hall opens. And the click clack is loud. It's from Fellowship coming in to be seen. Now watch. I want to help somebody today. He sits at the table. And when he sits at the king's table, the king tells him, he says, listen, as long as I live, you will always have a place at this table. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do, I will restore everything that your father and your grandfather lost. I will restore it all back to you. But not only that, but the servants, they're going to work for you and you won't have to live another thing the rest of your life. Now, I want you to catch this picture. Now, Mephibosheth is sitting at the table and he's lame, disabled from the waist down. Give us a real quick hand with that chair. That one right next to you, sir. I'm sorry, the stool. You was looking for the chair. But that was it. Put it right there. Now watch, he's sitting at the table. I just want to help y'all with that. He's sitting at the table. Big old cloth linen wrapped around the table. He's laying in both legs. But when he's seated at the table,
4, 3, 2, 1.
He looks just like you.
Yeah.
All his failures, all his mess ups, all his mistakes is covered. Everything that he jacked up, he messed up, he tore up, God says, I'm covering it. And I'm going to make you look just like everybody
else.
Yeah. And so when the king comes calling, Bible says it this way, it says, y'all need a book to go along with it. That love covers a multitude of sins. When the king invites you to the table, I know you messed up some stuff. He says, just come to the table. I got you. I know you done some things wrong. Just get to the table. I got you. If you would just come and sit with me and sup with me, I got you. You're going to look just like everybody else. I'm coming with my words of righteousness. I know you got rags on. I know you have been stained by sin. But you have been washed in the blood. Because you have been born again. I hear the Lord say this morning, if you would just come and sit at my table, I'm going to wash you and cleanse you. And I'm going to make you new. If you would just accept my invitation to be my guest at my table, that you never have to worry about eating again. Because I got you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got you. He's got you. He's got you. Come on, clap your hands all over. Amen. Well, bless the Lord. Amen. It's kind of hard to ship after that worship. Thank you, brother. Amen. It was good, huh? Amen. He took me this chair now. Amen. I don't know. I may sit down. Maybe it's going to be hard. I may rest. Amen. Glory to God. Look, on this day, I don't know. She says she got 9 more days, but Danya is heading out. She's moving out of state. Come on, Danya. I just want to, amen, honor you on today. Amen. I'm leaving. Time to go back home to the land. It's time. Who's time? Now, sir. Amen. I cried when you told me that, so you cried too. But she said, now if y'all would stretch forth your hands towards her, bless her and send her off. You know, this is the proper approach to do this. I'm going to help the church for me.
Talk, sir.
Some people leave without announcement. And they leave a hole and a void in their departure. They come in loudly, but they exit silent. They come in with a lot of noise.
when they leave the back door hushed. The right way is to say, hey, listen, God is doing something in my life. It's time to go to the next phase and stage. I'm hearing God, and God says it's time. And watch this, what she did. She honors the house enough to say, hey, listen, I'm not going to leave quietly. I want you to know that God is saying it's time to go. And when you're in a true house where there's a true man and woman of God, there is no hindrance or holding back. It's a blessing. And now you leave out with the blessing. So we're going to bless her today. We're going to stretch your hands. Father, now in the name of Jesus. So, TJ, tomorrow. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we bless your servant today. Father, we anoint her ears that she would hear from you, even the greater God. Father, as she takes your instruction and your word, Father, now we bless her now. Let her put it to action. Her faith has increased and grown, Lord God, in this ground. She has been a seed planted, God, and now she's a harvest grown. So, Father, let the word that has been deposited on the inside of her, let it manifest even the greater, God. She goes from here to there and everywhere she goes, God. We speak prosperity, blessings upon her, favor, even the greater upon her life now. She would never lack. She would never struggle. She would never want for anything, God, for your hand is upon her. Father, I thank you for the greater grace as she goes forward as an ambassador, God. Touch her now, God. Anoint in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your glory. We thank you, Lord God, for the time that we have spent with her, the impact that she has made in the lives that she has encountered. So now, Father, we bless now. Let her receive now of your own glory. In the name of Jesus, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. We thank you for the ordering of our steps now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, don't you can't get out here early because we want to love on you before you leave. We want to bless you, amen. We want to deposit some seeds into your life, amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, we want to sow into it, amen. So for you and those of you who would like to be a blessing to it, amen. You can do so. She will be in the foyer after service, amen. Hallelujah. Bless us and all. Amen. Let's go to the word right fast because I believe God has a word. I want to give it to you. Have an amazing worship like that. The heavens have been opened. We're going to give you our declaration of faith today. We declare that 2025 will be a year of unwavering faith. We will trust. Somebody shout out trust. We will trust in the Lord with all our hearts, not leaning to our own understanding. Our steps are ordered by God, and we will walk boldly into his promises. Come on, huh? I say that. Let's read that together. Ready? One, two, three. We
declare that 2025 will be a year of unwavering faith. We will trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Our steps are ordered by God, and we will walk boldly into his promises.
My God. You receive that, clap your hands. Anybody ready to walk boldly into the promises of God? Anybody ready to walk boldly into the promises of God? Grab your Bibles all over the place. We're going to Matthew chapter number 14, verse 27. Grab also the book of Job. Chapter number 4, verse number 12. And if you would you rest on your feet with me in the honor of the reading of God's word? We're going to make our confession of faith on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have it. If you're looking, say, I'm looking. A couple lookers over there. Amen. We won't cause you to look on. We'll wait a second. Hallelujah. Waiting for me to put it on the screen and say, thank you, Jesus. We're going to leave you behind. Let's repeat it. Say, today I will talk the word of God.
Today I will talk the word of God.
My spirit is ready.
My spirit is ready.
My mind is sharp.
My mind is sharp.
I believe the word.
I believe the word.
The word is true.
The word is true.
It is without error.
It is without error.
I believe what the word says.
I believe what the word says.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can
do. I can be what it says I can be. I can be what it says I can be. I believe what the word says about me.
I believe what the word says about me.
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus.
I'm the righteous God in Christ Jesus.
I am healed.
I am healed.
No sickness nor disease.
No sickness nor disease.
Shall come in my home.
Shall come in my home.
I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm rich.
I'm rich.
Wealth and riches.
Wealth and riches.
Shall be in my house.
Shall be in my house.
I talked to your neighbor for a second. I said, wealth and riches.
Wealth and riches.
Shall be in your house.
Shall be in your house.
Sign that over your other neck and say, wealth and riches.
Wealth and riches.
Shall be in your house.
Shall be in your house.
Come to the four walls of this church. Say, wealth and riches.
Wealth and riches.
Shall be in this house.
Shall be in your house.
I'm blessed to be a blessing.
I'm blessed to be a blessing.
My house is blessed.
My house is blessed.
My marriage is blessed.
My marriage is blessed.
My children are blessed.
My children are blessed.
My neighborhood is blessed.
My neighborhood is blessed.
My job is blessed.
My job is blessed.
My community is blessed.
My community is blessed.
My city is blessed.
My city is blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
My church is blessed.
My church is blessed.
Shall I'm blessed again.
I'm blessed.
I'm shouting amen.
Amen.
I'm blessed. We're going to start in the book of Job, chapter number 4, verse number 12. It's where we begin. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof, and thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep fell on men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. My God, I stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying. Job was afraid. He was afraid. Has fear ever struck you in your life before? To the point where the hair upon your neck stood. He was afraid. Hear this statement right fast. Fear is not the absence of courage, but courage in the presence of fear. Fear is not the opposite of courage. It's having courage in the presence of fear. Jump to Matthew right fast. Verse number 27. But straightway, somebody shout straightway.
Straightway.
Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not
afraid.
Be not afraid. When you recognize the presence of Jesus, fear has no power.
Amen.
Let me pray, Father, now in the name of Jesus. I ain't scared. In Jesus' name. Amen. Slap high five with you.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared.
I ain't
scared.
I ain't never scared.
Testimony. Some years ago, I led this guy to Christ. I was trying to get him to church. And for a couple of weeks, I was trying to get him to church. And he stopped answering the phone. So one day, I was going to show up at his house. So
I showed up, and it's an old neighborhood, and the addresses weren't written on the houses, they were off. So I go to this one house, which I thought was his house. I go through the gate, get to the door, knock on the door, and as I'm knocking on the door, this dog walks up to me, and he sits on my left-hand side, a little huge Chihuahua. He just sits there, and I pet him, he licks me on the hand. Then I feel this rush on my right side, another dog comes and sits at my right, true story. And he licks my hands. I knock again. The owner of the house finally comes to the door and he opens it with a crack in the door and says, "What you want?" I said, "Man, I'm looking for Lucius." "Ain't no Lucius here, slams the door." I said, "Okay." I go to walk away. He opens the door again and he grabs me and pulls me into the house. And so he pulls me into the house and he pins me up against the door and said, "Man, what are you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm just looking for Lucius." He said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "Crazy for looking for Lucius?" He said, "No, man." He said, "You didn't see the sign on the gate?" I said, "What sign?" "Beware of dogs." I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Man, don't you know these dogs are dangerous?" He said, "These dogs have gone after postmen and tore their post bags to shreds." He said, "Man, nobody comes in my yard without me. You crazy to come in this yard." I said, "Man, I'm just covered in the blood." He looks at me. He said, "You crazy." I said, "Well, praise God." I said, "Man, I'm just looking for Lucius. That's it." So I'm walking out of his door. The dogs greet me, walk with me to the gate. And as I'm going to the gate, I look at the gate, and there's this big bowls in the gate where the dogs were ramming into the fence, trying to get at the people. Holes in the gate where they had torn holes in the gate with their fangs, their teeth. Vicious dogs. But watch. Because I was unaware of the impending danger, I walked in with boldness. But here's the question, though. If you know danger is here, if you know there's trials and tribulations ahead of you, will you still have that type of boldness? Will you still be bold enough to dive into the fire furnace that has been turned 7 times higher? Would you still have the boldness to go into the lion's den, to lay amongst hungry lions, and you're supposed to be in the feast? Will you still have that kind of boldness, or will fear it grip you to the point where you're paralyzed? I want to tell you about the promises of God on today, if you did not know. Let's go to work. I want to talk to you today about faith over fear with a subtopic, step into the water. We got your name to say step into the water.
Step into the water.
So fear, acronym, false reality appearing real. That's what fear is. It's a false reality, but it appears to be real. False reality, but yet it appears to be real. In this topic today, faith over fear, we must first do work in first define what faith is. Because if you're to have faith over fear, you must first know what you're operating with, what you're working with. Hebrews tells us this, now faith is. Somebody shout, now faith.
Now faith.
Faith is for now, not tomorrow. Faith is for now. You don't apply faith after the situation. You got to have faith before the situation.
Say that again.
That's how you can walk through that thing. You don't wait till you get in the thing to now cry out. You got to have faith going in.
Come on, up top.
Because if you don't have faith going in, then you're going to fail the test. Because what sickness and disease does, it comes into your life, watch, as a litmus test. To test to see if you got faith. Trials and tribulations that come into your life is just a test of your faith. But you can't have faith once you're going into the struggle, or while you're in the struggle, you got to have faith going into it. This is the type of faith that God will come and he'll rest upon you, and no matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what the situation is, you'll still have peace. Hallelujah. I'm going to question the person next to you who can testify of some of the things they've gone through in life, and yet they still have joy and peace in the midst of a storm.
Yeah.
It's because you got to have faith going in. Mm-hmm. You got to have faith to start. You got to have faith to endure. And you got to have faith to finish. Did you hear that? You got to have faith to start, faith to endure, and faith to finish. You got to have faith. Look at what you say. You got to have faith. So what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith has substance. What's the substance of your faith? If it is not the word, if you have substituted your faith with something other than the word, then you're working with something that just won't work. You got to have faith in God's word. Mm-hmm. And it's his word that's going to sustain you. So faith has substance. The substance of faith is his word. Watch this. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. So faith applies to the invisible. Because if you already have it, you don't need faith. Oh my God. If you got money in your pocket, why do you need faith for money? If you're already healed and well, why do you need faith for healing? So faith is not for what you have. Faith is for what you hope for. Faith is for what you do not have and what you do not see. Because else is not faith. And some of us, we are lacking in faith because we're waiting to actually see the thing that we should have faith in the thing to appear. Okay, let me slow it down because y'all not getting it. So faith should be, watch, it's just like the pregnant woman with the baby in her belly that she has not yet held yet, but yet she goes by clothes and pampers and diapers and a crib and a stroller. She's in preparation for what she can't see it yet, but yet she's in preparation for it to come. She don't have it yet, but she's getting things ready for when it's coming. So faith is not for what I see. Faith is for what's to come, for what's to hope for. So how do I operate in faith? It's preparation. Am I preparing for that thing? Because a lot of you say, well, I got faith, but you ain't preparing for the thing to show up by faith. Oh, God.
Come on, sir.
You ain't preparing for it. Faith without
works
is what?
Dead.
So what your works at with your faith? Not the fact that you have to work it, but what's your preparation for it coming? Do y'all understand what I just said? Right. So if you believe in God for a car, did you make space in the driveway for the car? Or you still got that old clunker on blocks in your driveway? Did you make preparation? Did you go see Big Al? Did you make preparation for it? Are you? When you get things together for us to come. I believe in God for our house. Did you pull your credit report? Can we start saving money? Or you think God just will drop some keys in your hand? I mean, it is possible. Boy, when you prepare for some things, God will do exceedingly above. So watch this. I may be saving some money for a house that's 1,500 square foot get my credit right, but because I'm in preparation, God says, but listen, I saw the work you did. So I want to give you a 2,400 square foot.
Yeah.
No money now. No credit. Here's the deal. See, that's how that works. See, that's how faith is in action. You got to prepare some things. The woman with the oil, he told her, he said, listen, go and borrow vessels from all of your neighbors. That's all she had was a cruse of oil. Cruise is 8 ounces. She had 8 ounces of oil. And he said, listen, I need you to make preparation right now. I need you to go and borrow some barrels, some vats, some vessels. And I want you to take the little and pour it into much.
All right, sir.
I want to see where your faith is at. So she goes to her neighbors and she borrows these vessels. And she lines them up, and the prophet tells her to go behind you and close the doors. Just you and your sons. She closed the doors, and she takes 8 ounces, and she pours 8 ounces into gallons. Oh, catch me, beloved. I'm running fast. Put your traction. Now watch. She's pouring a little into much. And the oil kept flowing, not because it ran out of oil, but it ran out of preparation. She grabbed 20 barrels and 8 ounces poured in the 20, and the oil did not stop until the 20 ran out. Can I bless you this morning? Your blessing is in proportion to your preparation. The more you prepare for, the more God will pour out. He ain't gonna give you more than you can have. He's not going to put more on you than you can bear. So why would he give you a 100-load blessing when that's all you can handle is 50 loads? He's going to give you what you can handle, what you prepared for, what you can handle. He'll bless you according to your capacity. And so, watch this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Ask your neighbor, you got faith?
You got faith?
Okay. Let's continue. I just want to teach you, right? Watch this. The greatest strength of fear is ignorance. The greatest strength of fear is ignorance. So watch. Ignorance is the lack of knowledge. It's not knowing. That's all it is. So if I tell you ignorant, don't get offended. It just means you don't know. And here's the thing. We all ignorant of something. Anybody here know quantum physics? Then you're ignorant. Then I free y'all up. Yes, you didn't say you're ignorant. It's okay to be ignorant. We just don't know stuff, right? There's things we just don't know. You're ignorant. It's just the lack of illumination, the lack of knowledge, the lack of knowing. That's all ignorant is. You know, in the hood, we call it ignorant.
Ignorant. There you go.
Now, that's offensive. You know, somebody called it ignorant. They're trying to offend you. Now, I got to catch you. Right? And so that's all it is. Well, watch. The greatest strength of fear is ignorance. If I were to turn the lights off right now, completely dark, and something were to brush upon your neck, you lose your mind. Because you don't know what it is. That would leave my knife alone. But it's true. It's reality, right? Because you don't. What the? Yeah. You ever walk through the woods and a tree brush against your leg? Because you don't know. You don't know what it is. You're ignorant of what's there. Right? So much. If you had knowledge of a thing, then you wouldn't be afraid of a thing. If I had knowledge that those dogs were good dogs, I'd have walked into that gate more confidently.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Because I know they were good dogs. What? But because of ignorance, I didn't know the sign. I walked into that gate not knowing, but because of their approach was friendly. It gave me knowledge that they were friendly. So I stood there with confidence because I'm there with friendly dogs. Because I have knowledge of them being, And so why? So fear is, the strength of fear is lack of knowledge. And as long as you don't know, you're going to have fear that will grip you. And not only that, it will shackle you and it will keep you constrained.
Yes, sir.
Because you don't know. But there's a promise. So this is the lesson of fear. Number one, take notes. Fear will paralyze you. Fear will paralyze you. Now, I don't have a great liking to spiders nor snakes. I just don't. If I see a snake, it's going to freeze me up. It's paralyzing. I just don't like snakes. I don't like spiders. Don't like them. But fear has the same type of effect on you. It will paralyze you. It will keep you stagnant. It will keep you from moving. Some of you have gone through life, and because of your life experiences, the fear of moving forward has paralyzed you. You failed. You made some bad business decisions. You had some bad relationships. You've done some things, and now the fear of being heartbroken again, the fear of feeling that feeling of failing again, fear has now paralyzed you to where you don't want to go and do it again at all. Some of you talking about, you know, I'm just working on myself. No, you're scared to get another relationship because of the last relationship. I'll come for you in a second. Some of you are afraid to start that business you know God spoke to you about because of the past failed business. Well, maybe it ain't God's time yet. Maybe God got something better for you. You hadn't stepped out on this thing. You think he got another thing for you? Oh, I'm sorry. You're too afraid to step out on the water on this. You think he gonna let you step out on water on that? You gotta step, tell your nigga, step out on the water.
Step out on the water.
And so you gotta take steps. So fear will paralyze you. Fear will paralyze you. It'll keep you from moving forward. It'll keep you from moving forward. The next thing fear will do, fear will distract. It distracts you. Fear will distract you. Right? It'll have you focusing on what you don't have. Fear will have you focusing on what you will lose. It becomes a distraction to you because now fear says, take focus on me and not that. And so now God will have blessings upon blessings, favor upon favor, opportunity upon opportunity for your life, but fear will have you focusing on what you lose instead of what you gain. Some of you, watch this, you're looking at your life and saying, okay, God, I don't want to give this up, or I'm going to have to give this up or that up to follow you. And you're looking at what you're going to lose versus what you're going to I like to play. If I give my life to Jesus, will I have to give up the club? I like rum and coke. Gin and juice. Will I have to give that up to follow you? You see, you're looking more at what you have to lose than what you gain. Oh my God. You know, we evaluate our lives by what we have gained, what we desire, but then when it's in contrast to us coming into the kingdom of God and doing it God's way, we look at what I have to lose in order to. And so fear will distract you. You're afraid of growing closer to God because of all what you think you don't lose. Instead of looking at what God has for you. Can I tell you something? In the kingdom of God, God looks at what he can multiply in your life more so than what he can subtract from your life. Now, here's the key to the kingdom of God. Subtraction is a part of the multiplication of the kingdom. I'm going to say that again, though, because they didn't catch it. Subtraction is part of kingdom multiplication. You got to give something for God to multiply. You got to give over. You got to subtract out this God. I'm giving you this in exchange for that. And the thing that you give up will always be smaller than the thing you get back. The boy with the fish and five loaves is just fish and five loaves. Two fish, two barley breads. That's it. Two-piece chicken with some biscuits. And he gives the tract and places it in the hands of Jesus. He takes it and watch this. He blesses it. Can I fix something for you in your hand today? The multitude of the blessing did not come at the hand of Jesus. It came at the hand of the disciples. It didn't multiply until it got their hands. I better read your Bible. He blessed it. He broke it and gave it to them. So they just got little pieces. But as they went to distribute it, it multiplied. Oh, y'all miss that. So Jesus blessed the multiplication, but it didn't multiply until it got in their hands. So they gave little and got much back. It's the same with you. Whatever you lay at the feet of Jesus, say, oh, okay, let's see. Oh, okay. Let me multiply that back to you. You put a little and he multiplies it very much. But as part of kingdom multiplication, this is attraction. You're always going to have to give something. Look at your intention to cost you something. That's why he says the one who gives his life will find his life. So to be a part of the kingdom, you've got to subtract your life so he can multiply your life.
Yes. Amen.
John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you life and life more. So when you give your life, he will give you abundant life back. And for all of you who think you so such and much, and your life is all that great, it ain't. So give him your little meager life. I'm trying to fill your life. But give him your little meager life. And watch him abundantly multiply life back to you. That's what he does. Okay, we move fast. So fear will distract you. It will have you focusing on what you're going to lose. Number three, watch this. Fear will rob you. That's what fear will do. It'll rob you. What do you mean, rob? Apostle. It'll rob you of opportunities. It'll rob you of blessings. It'll rob you of relationships. It'll rob you of your career. It'll rob you. Feels, oh, you know, don't go down there. Them people down there are crazy. Don't go to that church. Them people are crazy. And watch this. The very place that you try to stay away from is the place that God's wanting to bless you. John Henry. Oh, don't read your Bible. You know what the old folks say? Don't read Revelations. You'll lose your mind. You'll go crazy. You'll go crazy. Don't read that book. You'll go crazy. But in that book is the promises and the blessing of God. See how fear would rob you?
Fear will rob
you. Fear have you, you know, there'll be a door for a job opportunity. You're thinking, man, I, you know, I don't have the right degrees. I'm not qualified enough. Or, you know, I'm not good enough. And I got fired off my last job. And fear. Fear will rob you of the opportunity. And the moment you overstep fear, because watch this, on the other side of fear is the blessing, which you got to get to the other side. So fear is not for you to go around. Fear is for you to go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I got to go through the valley. You got to go through. And so you'll be thinking, well, I'm not good enough. And you get on that job, on that interview, and they'll look at you and say, I know you applied for this position. But we got a higher paying position. I know you want to start off entry level. But we just had this other position that opened up that I think that you'd be good for. But Phil would say, oh, don't apply for that. You ain't smart enough. You ain't qualified enough. Can I tell you something? He does not call the qualified. He qualified those who are. And as long as you got faith and trust in him, you're walking that thing. I'm going to be such a place. I tell you not walking that bowl. I know I ain't qualified, but I'm coming anyway. Tell me no. Because after every no, there's a yes. So I'm just keeping no, okay, no, okay, no, no, okay, okay. I'm just going to keep going until I get a yes.
That's right.
Because you never know what God's going to do. You never know what God's going to do. I applied for jobs in the past. I knew I wasn't qualified for it. I applied anyway. Got 2/3 of them. Knew I wasn't qualified. But when I got there, you would have thought I was qualified. Because watch what God does. And what he does is that when he anoints you in a position, he also anoints you in the wisdom for the position. Okay, you can buy it. So Joseph is head of a Fortune 500 company, and he never went to business school. You know what Joseph in the Bible? Coat of many colors. He goes to Pharaoh, tells Pharaoh this business plan, writes out a business plan for Pharaoh, and says, listen, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of lack. So we're going to store. He's writing out a business proposal. And he presents it to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's like, wow, this is good. And he looks for people to implement this. And he said, I can't find nobody. Joseph, since you wrote this out, I'm going to place you as number two of all of my business. There'll be none in this kingdom that has more authority than you than me. Puts him as the head CEO of the company. So when God anoints him, I see Joseph that went to school with him. He was a pretty boy. He was. He hung around his daddy. His daddy was sheltered. Never kept. The brothers would go out there and tend the sheep and the flock and all that. Joseph at home. Coloring. Y'all can read y'all Bible. And he just sitting at the house chilling. He was small. Yeah, he was small. He got a coat of many colors. Nobody else got one, but Joseph got one. He was coloring. You got it. Right? And so he was just, you know, he wasn't nobody special. He just hung around the house. He didn't know how to tend sheep. He didn't know how to farm, none of that. Just sitting at the house. But watch, God gave him wisdom and knowledge on business. So now when he gets in position, he's able to conduct business. Because God anointed him to do so. So fear will rob you. I'm almost done. Of opportunities. Let's go to Luke chapter number 5. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Jesus comes on the scene. He's preaching and teaching. He tells Peter it's time to launch out in the deep. This Greek word, fear, is this word, bathos. It's the deep things of God, which also means the things hidden above man's scrutiny, especially in divine counsel. And so what fear does, helps open up the door to divine hidden revelations and divine guidance. That's why the Bible says it this way, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge.
Proverbs.
That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. It opens up divine revelation. So watch. Here's the promise. We're getting to the promise because there's a promise behind the fear. Joshua says this. He's preparing the people. He says, and Joshua rose early in the morning. It's a lengthy text. He rose early in the morning. They were removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, they lodged there before they passed over what? The Jordan River. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they command the people saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Look at your neighbor and say, go after it.
Go after it.
Yet there shall be a space between you and it. Here's some instructions. Can I drop another nugget on you? Before your next miracle, there will always be an instruction. Instruction always precedes the miracle. So you gotta have your ears open to hear the instruction. So before every miracle, there's an instruction. The lame man, take up your mat and walk. What do you gotta do? Take up your mat. The blinded man with spit on his eyes, go wash your eyes. You don't wash your eyes, you don't stay blind. There's always going to be an instruction. And the problem with us now in receiving or having the blessings of God manifest in our lives, we don't obey instructions. We don't obey. And the Spirit of God be telling you to do what you won't obey. If you would do this, this, and this, then you can have the blessing. And we want to do this and that, but not that. But the instruction was to do all of this, but you only did part of this. But yet you still believe in God for a blessing. And so his instruction, it says there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. And ye will not pass this way, because you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that beareth the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said to the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. I'm almost there. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. And he will, without fail, drive out from before you all the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Perizzites, and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed over before you. Now, here's the thing. The ark of the covenant represents God's presence. It represents his presence. And before the covenant of the Lord will pass over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take 12 men, we're almost there, out of the tribes of Israel. Somebody shout 12. 12 is the biblical number of government and order. God says I'm bringing some order to this thing. Ah, I feel you.
Yes, sir.
God's about to bring some order into your life. The crooked things will be made straight. He's about to bring some order. The order is necessary because the Spirit of God does not work in confusion or chaos. He works in order. So you're wondering why some things haven't happened yet? Because there's no order in your life. You're wondering why the finances haven't come in? Because there's no order to your finances. Some of y'all praying for a significant other. There's no order in your life.
It says, watch this, take 12 men of the tribes of Israel. 12 men. And therefore,
It shall come to pass as soon as the sole of your feet of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon me. And it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark were come into Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time during the harvest time, that is. And the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is, beside Zarephath. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, is the verse. And the priests in the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. What does all of this mean? What does this have to do with faith over fear? They had just lost great battles. Lost to Ai. Won against Ai. They had some defeats in their life. And they're about to cross over into the promised land. And God says, watch this. Just step into the waters. That's all I need you to do is to step in the waters. But wait a minute, God. Last time we were faced with waters, there was a Red Sea before us, Pharaoh behind us. We saw him do a miracle then. Can you do a miracle now? We saw him deliver us through the waters one time before. Can you do it again? I says, yes, I can do it again. That's all I need you to do is. The first time you did it, there was a broad stretch forth. And the waters opened. I said, yeah, that's how I did it. But this time, I need you to. Here's the instruction.
You can turn me off. I'm let us control.
I told you before, every miracle, there's an instruction. Here's your instruction. You believe in God for the thing, God says, step into the thing. You pray for the thing, God says, step into the thing. You hoping for the thing, God says, step into the thing. I don't need you to wait till the miracle comes for you to celebrate. I need you to step into it like it's already done. Watch. After you prepare, after you stand in the river, after you send God first, here's the promise. Watch. Isaiah tells us this promise. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. That's the promise right there. If you would just step in the water, you got to know he's there with you. If you would just step in the waters, watch this. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when you walk through the fire, they shall not burn thee. Neither will they kindle a flame upon thee. Why? Because he's there with me. But I got to first step. Look at your neighbor, say, step in the water. I would come out and prophesy with their body with an action, a faith-filled action. You would just take a step into the next thing that you believe in God. You would just take a step that you trust in God. You would just take a step in your healing, a step in your provision, a step in your prosperity, a step in your peace. I want somebody to just take a step and give God the praise of this place. Just step in the water. Just step in the water. Just step in. Step in. I'll just take a step in that thing. Say, Lord, if that's you, just bid me to come. Just take a step, Peter.
as you bid me to come, he said, just step, come. Watch this, and I'm done. Peter did not walk on water. Oh, wait a minute, Apostle. You get that from? Bible say he walked on water. He walked on faith. He walked out on faith. Watch this. Over fear. Because the fear was the storms raging around him. The sea and the ocean was in an uproar. And he looked at it and said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come. He said, come. It was faith that held him up. It was faith that sustained him. How do you know, Apostle? Because the text goes on to say that when he saw the bolstering of the waves in the sea, he began to sink. He allowed fear to step in when he was walking on faith. He allowed fear to override the faith that he had in him. Come. And began to sink. It wasn't the waters that came on. It was the faith that he had when Jesus said, come. Because watch this. If Jesus was walking on air, if Peter would have saw it, he would have said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come. The faith would have held them up. What are you saying, Apostle? You would just step out in faith. Just step out and trust me by faith. Put some substance in that thing. What's the substance? God, you've done it before. You can do it again. What's the substance, God? I can testify that you are healing to my life. God, I can testify that when I didn't have, you provided. That's my substance. We have overcome the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. I got substance to my faith. I got substance. I got substance to my faith. And I laid hand on the sick and I see him recover. I got substance. I got substance. When I laid hands on the deaf ears, man, I got substance to my faith. I got, look at you, I got substance. I got substance. Every time I was going through it, I needed to go through it. I got substance in my faith that he brought me through. I got substance. That's why I don't mind stepping out in the water. I don't mind. We about 300 members on the road. 40% of them are children. And y'all know we're looking for a new building. And I'll just be upright with y'all. I don't care how many members you got. That don't mean you got money. But the reality is some of y'all give $5 a dollar. So if you look in here and you just do a math count, right? You say, oh, wait a minute. $150, $200, right? It's a number. Watch what faith says. Faith steps. It says step in the water. So we're about to move from an 8,000 square foot building to a 29,000 square foot. That's a $2 million building. But you got people who are giving less than that. Faith says step in the water. Because if I sustained you for these 12 years, because it's not about what you give, it's about my God. If you don't give another cent, I got faith that God's going to provide. That's why you don't ever hear me talk about the $1,000 line, the $500 line. You give what you give, and you give it freely. You let the Spirit of God speak to you. I'll let God deal with you. But I trust God. And I'll step into the water. Because I've seen him part the waters before. And I'll walk on water with him. received the invitation of coming. So today, if you hear the name, you don't know Jesus Christ as the Father of your sins. Hear the words of the Lord. Come. You made some mistakes. Today is the day to get it right. You matched it. Today is the day to get it right. Here's the instruction. Come. He's already prepared a table for you. He's already made a way. Here's the instruction. Come. That's you on today. You're saying, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Come. If you've backslid, done some things wrong, disconnected from God, the instruction is, come. If that's you today, if that's you today, would you lift your hand? I want to get my life right with Jesus. I want to get my life right. I made some mistakes, but I want to ask for forgiveness. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Don't let fear prevent you from coming. If that's you, lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. Thank you, Father. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. And all these saved folk in the building, that's worth celebrating. Hallelujah. If you're uncertain of your salvation, we want to pray with you. You're uncertain, I'm uncertain. Got some thoughts, some concerns about your salvation. If that's you, I want to pray with you. I want to instruct you on your salvation. If that's you, lift your hand. You know, I'm saved, but I don't know. If that's you. Amen. Praise God. I see you back there. I see you. Is there another that would say that's me? That's me. Any other? Any other? Any other? On the back there, back there. My last appeal, and I'm done. I promise I'm going to send it in a minute, but we're going to go with God. If you don't have a church home, you came here, maybe it's your first, your second, third time, even online, and you don't have a church home, but you felt the Spirit of God, the presence of God come upon you. If that's you today, would you lift your hand? You want to be a part of Elevate Church? If that's you, lift your hand, do it now. And amen. Come on, the Lord. Is there any other time? It's best for you. Amen. I kissed my wife on the first day that I didn't see. Amen. I told nobody but y'all. Amen. And you kiss and tell on the first day. Amen. She wasn't fast. Amen.
Kiss women on the first day.
I just had a gag. Amen. So if this is a this is your first time, our first date together. Amen. And you're saying, I want to go ahead and commit to being a part of the Elevated Church. If that's you, lift your hand. Do it fast. Do it fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord. Can we thank God for our members? Hallelujah. Right here. If this is your second or third time.